verses 12 through 17. Therefore, always was taught in seminary, when you hear the word therefore, you ask what it's there for. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Compassion, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, forgive one another if there is any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. At the bottom of many of the manuscripts of the great composer, musician, Johann Sebastian Bach, he often wrote INDNJC. And those letters stood for, in Latin, in nomine Domini nostre Jesus Christe, translated in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. INDNJC. They did not appear on Bach's musical transcripts by accident. They were there for a reason. Bach, considered a genius in music, recognized the true genius. Known for his extraordinary talent, he realized the source of all human talent. Praised for his gifts, Bach was aware of the giver of all gifts. So at the bottom of his manuscript, he would write INDNJC. Now, I don't know a lot about Latin, and I know even less about music. Last week, I preached a sermon called Singing a Cappella. Remember? This week, we're going to look at a different sermon on the topic of music. And I don't know a lot about music, but I can appreciate it. I was too busy following lesser pursuits when I was a young person. But I can tell you this about music. If you ask me to sing Amazing Grace or something from James Taylor's Greatest Hits album, you might stay to hear it. But if someone asked me to sing an operatic piece, the room would begin to clear very, very quickly. It would be the equivalent of raking my fingers down a chalkboard for those of you who are gifted in music. And though my talents aren't there for music, I know a lot about life. And as someone who is a student of life, I am given a chance to compose a symphony, a living manuscript for others to hear through my life. And so each day I have an opportunity to use my God-given time and talent and skills and gifts and resources as I compose my life song. Each day, our lives are a living symphony to somebody's ears. Do you believe that? I do. In Colossians 3, the apostle speaks of those who are chosen of God, those who've been given new life in Christ, and in effect, he tells them that their lives are living manuscripts, living symphonies to the world around them. And he says, wear the right clothes, attitudinally, wear the right clothes, and sing edifying and beautiful lyrics with your life. Verse 12, clothe yourself with what? What type of clothing? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, Bear with one another. Forgive each other as the Lord hath forgiven you. Clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then we come to the section that speaks literally about the import of praising God through actual music. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And notice the musical emphasis here. We know that the early church was a singing church, was a praising church, was a church that lifted itself in song. And it was done for one overarching reason, verse 17, that whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so everything was to be done INDNJC, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that earliest church, whatever was done in word, deed, or attitude was intensely done in INDNJC. Paul was in effect saying, live your life, give your energy, your deepest expression of music, as a living symphony for the living God. And if we could imagine that we are performers, if you could imagine this morning that you are a composer on the stage of life, what does your life, what does your music convey? Could we write INDNJC at the bottom of our typical day, at the bottom of our motives, at the bottom of our devotion? Could we write INDNJC in our dealings with others, in our pursuit of truth, in the way we communicate, in our service to the church? Do we reflect INDNJC? Now, there's a minister that's rather interesting to me. His name is Robert Fulghum. He's a former minister, and he's written several famous books. The most prolific of them is the one called All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And he writes common inspiration for common people in very uncommon ways. And he writes about his summer vacations. And I quote, the big deal of my summer is a week in Weezer, Idaho. Now, maybe that's hard to believe, he says, because if you've ever looked at an Idaho map, you know that Weezer is nowhere. But if you play the fiddle, Weezer, Idaho is the center of the universe. The Grand National Old Time Fiddlers Contest is there in the last week of June. And since I've fiddled around a time or two, I went. 4,000 people live in that town in normal times. 5,000 more come out of the bushes and trees and hills for that contest. And the town stays open round the clock, with fiddling in the streets and dancing at the VFW Hall and fried chicken at the Elks Lodge and free camping on the rodeo grounds. And people from all over show up. Fiddlers from Pottsboro, Texas, and Thief River Falls, Minnesota, and Peshoe, Arkansas, and Three Forks, Montana, and just about every other little crossroad town you care to mention, and even people from Japan. And it used to be, he says, that the festival was populated by country folk, pretty straight types, short hair, church on Sunday kind of folk. And then the long-haired hippie freaks began to show up. And the trouble was that the hippies could fiddle to beat the band, and that's all there was to it. And so the town turned over the junior high school grounds to the freaks. And the contest judges were put in isolated rooms so that they could only hear the music. They couldn't see what the people looked like, what their names were. They could only judge the fiddling. And one old gentleman put it like this: I don't care if you're stark naked and wear a bone in your nose. If you can fiddle, you're all right with me. It's the music we make that counts. It's the music we make that counts. And I like the story for that expression solely. And that's what the whole third chapter of Colossians is all about. So whether we are a talented composer, a bona fide musician, a banker, a baker, or a candlestick maker, it's all about the music that we make. Whether old or young, whether shy or bold, whether rich or poor, whether running or barely crawling through the door, whether we drive a wheelchair or a Lincoln Town car, it's the music that we make that counts. Verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and above all of these, put on love. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. And so we are composers of this music of life. And although I know almost nothing about composition and note reading and the finer qualities of music, I do know a few things that would help me put INJC, INDNJC, at the foot of my day. And one of them is that every musician must remember the audience to whom they play for. And I'll never forget the wedding that I conducted for an ultra-conservative couple. I mean, this couple wanted King James Version for everything I read in the Bible during the wedding. And they were very conservative, straight-laced. Unfortunately, the DJ, who had been prepped for the wedding that day, got sick. And so he sent his youngest assistant. And it wasn't 5 minutes into the reception that songs like "Play That Funky Music, White Boy" and "She's a Brick House" were being played. And you should have seen the look on the faces of the bridal couple, the uptight guests, and the father who paid for this reception. Should have seen their faces. Lesson learned. It's important to know your audience. And we all have an audience. That audience is family. Surely melodies will be sung for friends. No doubt some of us perform for folks on the job or in business settings or in the community or in the church, at my school where I volunteer. But ultimately, the believer composes and performs live music for God Almighty, our Creator. He's the main source. He is the main focus in our audience. Bach knew it. Bach knew that. Do you know that? God is our ultimate audience. He is our Creator. He is the giver of every breath that we breathe. He is the giver of every talent that you possess. So whose applause do we ultimately yearn for? The first principle of composition: know your audience. For we must all appear, the scripture says, we must all appear before the justice and mercy seat of Jesus Christ one day. Second principle: despite the beautiful complexity of Bach's masterful work, he never forgot the importance of basics. Basics like pitch and tempo and dynamics and harmony. Let's look at pitch first. A musician will sometimes use a pitch pipe to assist in playing the right key. And most of us don't have perfect pitch in music, nor do we have perfect pitch in life. We are prone to attitudinal sharps and attitudinal flats in life. We get sharp, we get impatient, and despite our best efforts and for various reasons, including things like laziness and weariness and failure and discouragement, sometimes we go flat. We run out of gas. But in music and in life, we must look at the important issue of pitch. And we go back to the basics of trying to stay in tune. What makes good music? Pitch is part of it. Tempo is another. Tempo has to do with the speed of music, and it can make or break a performance. Songs played too slowly or too rapidly detract from its beauty. And so good composers master the import of tempo. Tempo is the fine art in music, but it's also a fine art in life. In life, there are those fast-paced, decisive moments, give it all you can moments, those carpe diem moments, and then there's also right alongside of those moments, those be still and know that I'm God moments. Times for stillness, times for silence, times for word and action. Time to be busy like Martha, and time to be contemplative like Mary. And wisdom is knowing what's appropriate and godly in a given moment. And so balance becomes the key when it comes to the tempo of my life. Combining reflective solitude and respite and pauses with productivity. And it's a fine balance. And I can honestly say my best productivity is inspired through prayerful stillness in my life. So that the prayerful stillness is what leads to the most productive decisions in my life. And so as we seek to place INDDNJC in our lives, tempo is important. Tempo is important in music, and so is harmony. Harmony, what is harmony? Harmony is when two or more different sounds combine to produce something that they could not produce apart from one another. And so the genius of good music is the ability to harmonize different pitches, tempos, sounds that produce an even more beautiful piece of music. And so if every singer sang the note, and if every key on the piano played the same pitch, you would not have beauty. And if every voice sang on their own, harmonizing without the voices around them, you would not have beautiful music. And so in Colossians chapter 3, Paul talks about that ingredient of harmony. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness. Bear with one another, forgive one another, that you might live in perfect harmony, he says. Now there was a man who had been married for 50 years. And he was asked one day by a young person what the secret of his long marriage was. And he gladly revealed the secret. He said, The secret is a long walk downtown to a restaurant. A nice, slow, 2-hour meal. And a really nice, slow, 1-hour walk home. She goes on Tuesdays and I go on Thursdays. I somehow don't think that's what harmony is about. Not what we're talking about, but within a healthy church, within a healthy family, within a healthy organization, there exists harmony of spirit. Embracing our diversity helps us in harmonizing. And we read in 1 Corinthians 12 how Paul describes the church in the metaphor of a human body. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong, or if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong, that would not make it less a part of the body. But God has arranged the members in the body, each as He has chosen. In other words, the best soloist doesn't make a choir. And the best instrumentalist does not make a band or an orchestra. Harmony recognizes and celebrates the worth of others, even the smallest contributions. I once slammed my hand in a car door, and what took a second to get out of took me weeks to recover from. The critical tips of my fingers were badly bruised and damaged. Just try to live for a couple weeks without the use of your fingers, your eyes, your feet. Harmony recognizes the value of every member of the body, both the visible and the invisible, both the large and the small. And finally, I want to address the issue of excellence. Any great athlete, any great musician, any great artisan, any great Philadelphia Philly who signs a $330 million contract over 13 years, I'm getting jealous now, any of them would know the issue of excellence. INDNJC sheds all ideas of mediocrity. On August 28, 1963, one of my great heroes, Dr. Martin Luther King, gave his I Have a Dream speech on the Washington Monument. And it is arguably one of the greatest speeches in American history. But there's another, less quoted speech that Dr. King offered to a group of students about 5 miles from my former church in Philadelphia. On October 26, 1967, at Philadelphia Barrett Junior High School, Dr. King delivered what is commonly referred to as the tongue twister, the street sweeper speech. And in it, he said to an auditorium full of young people, and I quote, "What I'm saying to you this morning, my friends, is this. Even if it falls upon your lot to be a street sweeper, go out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived the great street sweeper who swept his job well. And if you can't be a pine on top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. And if you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, then be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best at whatever you are." End of quote. And so Dr. King's speech teaches us to be the best at what we do, regardless of your situation in life. And so as we seek to put INDNJC in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ at the bottom of life's manuscript, at the bottom of our service and our worship and our sacrifice in church, may each of us seek excellence in our lives. INDNJC is a call to excellence. And so I would like to close with Dr. Foldham's conclusion at his vacation, Grand National Fiddlers Convention in Weezer, Idaho, Remember the man who said, "Son, I don't care if you're stark naked and wear a bone in your nose. If you can fiddle, you're all right with me. It's the music we make that counts." Let's pick up the story right there. "So I was standing there in the middle of the night in the moonlight of Weezer, Idaho, and about 1,000 other people who were picking and singing and fiddling were there together, and some with bald heads, and some with hair down to their knees, and some with beards, and some 18, and some were 80. And the music was rising like incense in the night. And the policeman, a real honest-to-goodness Weezer policeman, is standing next to me, and he's picking his banjo, and he says to me, 'Sometimes the world seems like a fine place, don't it?' And I said, 'Yes, indeed. Pick it, brother. Let it roll.'" End of quote. Maybe we learn something from the Idaho fiddlers. Maybe their kind of harmony is God's style harmony. Maybe it really is the music that we make with our lives that counts. And as we attend to the importance of pitch and tempo and harmony in our lives and a commitment to excellence in whatever we do, maybe then we will be able to place the letters across the manuscript of our lives in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you, and may we be reminded this day that whatever we do in word or deed, to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. INDNJC. Amen. Let us stand together and sing.